From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hello, you're listening to the Open Mic Podcast, a new podcast from the sports desk at the Oklahoman for News OK. I'm Mike Sherman, Sports of the Oklahoman, and every week we're going to get together and talk to members of the staff about big issues that they got going on their beat. And my guest today is Darnell Mayberry, our Thunder beat writer, and there's nothing bigger right now, Darnell, than NBA draft talk. Last night, the Thunder got the third pick in the NBA draft. That's going to happen June 25th. They did not get the number one pick in Blake Griffin. Mass hysteria. Depression reigns over the greater Oklahoma City area. But the sun came up today, and the Thunder's got the number three pick. And with the number three pick, the Oklahoma City Thunder selects
Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio. At least in my dreams, they do. I mean, they came also close to getting that number one pick. When that fit, when that six card said the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you knew that the Thunder had moved up. I mean, that was sort of the most exciting 2 minutes in NBA's history in this city in a long time, and since the NBA's been here. To me, that was an exciting 2 minutes.
But it was a fake 2 minutes because actually the die had already been cast. Scott Brooks had to come out there. Now he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know, and we didn't know.
But the die had been cast. Backstage, the Thunder got the third pick,
yeah,
which is not the old maid card, you know, in this draft. But every, you know what's funny about these drafts? Every year somebody says, oh, it's a two-player draft, or it's a three-player draft.
Yeah.
Last year was the three-player draft,
right?
It was Derrick Rose, it was O.J. Mayo, it was Michael Beasley. And the thought was the Thunder, I mean, which was the Sonics then,
yeah,
had drawn the old maid card. With the fourth pick, oh, dear Lord,
what will they take?
What do they do? And they took Russell Westbrook. This year, a lot of talk is that it's a two-player draft. Blake Griffin, Ricky Rubio, and then what? You think somehow Rubio's going to be there at three, and how do you come to that?
I think he might be there at three. I think if you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, they're thin up front. All they have is Mark Gasol. Now, they did draft a guy, Darrell Arthur, who can bang. He can rebound a little bit. But he probably weighs less than I do. So you look at the Grizzlies, they've got Mike Conley at point guard, who they drafted fourth overall a few years back. He came on strong last year, at the end of last year, when Lionel Hollins became head coach of the Grizzlies. He played very well under him. They might stick with him going forward. I think they could pass on Rubio. I think they go for Thabeet, move Marc Gasol to power forward. Then you have your true center who rebounds and blocks shots. If that happens, Rubio can fall to Oklahoma City.
Okay, so here's the advantages of Rubio. International star, looks like Pete Maravich, 18 years old, floppy haircut. I guess he's got floppy socks. Doesn't have Pete Maravich's jump shot, I can promise you that, but has great court vision and might be a cult hero here in Oklahoma City. I heard the other day he said he doesn't like a lot of attention, doesn't like a lot of off-court
stuff.
Get
used to it, buddy.
Well, welcome to Oklahoma City. But here's the problem. You really think that the Memphis Grizzlies, who have really never had much lottery luck, are going to pass on Ricky Rubio?
I think it's hard for – they'd be crazy to pass on Ricky Rubio. Here's the thing. Marc Gasol, where's he from?
He's from Spain.
Who did he play with on the national team in the Olympics?
The Spaniard known as Ricky Rubio.
You think someone's going to be in the GM's ear saying, we have to draft this guy?
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying Marc Gasol is LeBron James or has the clout of LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bryant, but you would think that he has some inside information and he can give it to the powers that be in his organization and sort of persuade them to draft Ricky Rubio.
And you know what else we know about the Memphis Grizzlies? As far as we know, there's no one from the Tanzania national team playing for the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's right.
So there's no built-in lobby for Hashim Thabeet, who you think is one of the most divisive players to come along in the NBA draft in a while. Why do you think that?
Because you either love him or you hate him. I haven't heard, you know, I think I'm the only one who's saying, okay, I think he's solid. He's not going to be great. He's not going to be a bust. He's going to do exactly what you need him to do, and that's rebound and block shots. That's what the Thunder needs. And really, I think the Thunder is in a good position no matter what. If there's any way that the Clippers just completely botch it and trade Blake Griffin, that they're fine there. If the Grizzlies pass on Ricky Rubio and they can get Ricky Rubio at three without trading, they're fine. If they take Ricky Rubio and they're left with the beat, they're fine. If Ricky Rubio pulls out of the draft and the Grizzlies take the beat, the Thunder's still fine. You have James Harden. You can take James Harden, who I'm high on. The guy's a very polished player. He comes in. He's a playmaker. He's a good teammate. He's everything that this organization wants. And I'm high on James Harden. So I think the Thunder's fine no matter what.
Okay, so to sort of summarize this, the Los Angeles Clippers draft first, the Memphis Grizzlies draft second, and the Oklahoma City Thunder drafts third. Okay, for the Thunder's dreams to come true, it would take two historically inept franchises to make mistakes. Just the way you said that and the way I just summarized it, Oklahoma City fans got to be feeling pretty good.
It's possible.
The Clippers are the Clippers. They have been in basketball Siberia since they moved from San Diego, and before that, since they moved from Buffalo, where they were the Braves.
Yep.
Bill Walton's bad feet, Michael Olowokandi, the botched trade for Baron Davis. This team can't get out of its own way. It's a fixture in the lottery. Good luck with that, Blake Griffin. So maybe they make another mistake. Maybe they remain the Clippers. And if that doesn't happen, then there's the Memphis Grizzlies, the team who traded Shane Battier for your man Rudy Gay. Yeah. Not a good deal. They traded a basketball player for a guy who would be better suited on the N1 tour. Rudy Gay, phenomenal athlete, not a phenomenal basketball player.
Well, Rudy Gay is a tremendous basketball player.
I love him. He's from B-more. But let me tell you this. I don't like their end of that trade. And by the way, guess what the Grizzlies have done ever since Shane Battier left town?
Stink up the joint.
Lose. You know what they were doing?
It's not just him, though. They had another guy named Pau Gasol.
Well, you know what they were doing before he left town? Winning 50
games.
And
they had a coach named Hubie Brown.
I'm just saying they won once Hubie Brown had left.
Well, let's not put it all on Shane Battier.
I'm saying he's a winning piece. Okay, so these are two franchises who've goofed up before, and maybe they'll goofed up again. Let's say they don't. And there sits Hasheem Thabeet. I got a song.
Who would you take? Take him?
I got a song.
Let's hear it.
Well, I haven't really rehearsed. I'm not a singer, but you know the old Go-Go's tune?
Yeah.
We got the beat?
Uh-huh.
There you go. We got the beat.
How's
all
it
the
go?
Thunder fans who love Oklahoma, who love Hasheem Thabeet, they could sing the old Go-Go's tune. We got the beat. We got the beat. Yeah, we got them. Okay? Or they can take this other version of the song.
Yep.
Which I'm writing, and it's called
Remix.
Don't Draft Thabeet. Don't draft Thabeet, don't draft Thabeet. No, don't draft him. That's the song I'm singing. What do you think the popular Thunder fan out there is singing right now? Which version of that song?
I think the latter. I think most fans, like you said, they're leery of 7-foot centers who have the potential to be stiffs.
Why, oh why, would they be leery of them?
Well, with this franchise in particular, you got Mo Sene, who was a stiff. You got Robert Swift, who has proven to be a stiff. And you had Johan Petro, who got his get-out-of-jail-free card, and he's now on a potential, on the Denver Nuggets playing in the Western Conference Finals. So,
sitting the bench.
But he's sitting the bench, and he proved to be a stiff during his time with the Sonics franchise / Thunder. So, I think the guy's okay. Personally, I think the beat is going to do what you need him to do. I don't think that he's going to be a stiff.
Well, here's the problem. He doesn't show the kind of motor the Thunder seems to be looking for. I mean, if you watched him in the NCAA tournament, never at any point did you say, our man Baldwin, I love him. I love Mike Baldwin, your partner in crime on the Thunder beat. But he says he started comparing him to Tyson Chandler. You know what he's got in common with Tyson Chandler? He's 7 foot. And that's where it ends.
And about stops there. And they block shots.
He blocks shots. But here's the deal. He's got nowhere near the athletic. He's not as skilled as Tyson Chandler.
But
he
I'll
doesn't
say this.
Run the court.
I'll say this.
He doesn't have the heart and motor.
He's not
showed it.
He's not a stiff athletically like you claim that he is because, one of your big knocks on him is that they have the 3-second rule in the NBA.
Right.
The guy's mobile enough to get in and out of the lane. I mean, he's not camping in the lane. He's not Jerome James. He's not Eddie Curry and, just sort of 300 pounds and unathletic. I mean, the guy is an athlete. He can get up and down the court. And if he can't do that, he can at least get side to side and get out in and out of the lane.
It's a tough call, though, for the Thunder, which and Sam Presti and these guys inherited a franchise that was already larded up with 7-footers who either couldn't play or really didn't want to play, or both. So you've had that track record. You've really got you've purged your roster of these kind of guys. You've got brought in guys who want to play the right way. The question is, does Sam Presti look at Hashim Thabeet and say, that guy fits? I don't think it fits. I think you look at the pieces. Now, the need to address the interior defense is great. But there's this thing
called... The greatest. It's the greatest need.
There's this thing called free agency, and you said it. Do you go for the... Do you draft for need, or do you draft the best player?
Here's what Presti does. He drafts the best player for his organization.
That's right.
And that's why I think he's going to draft James Harden at 3, or maybe try to trade down a spot or two to get him. At the end of the day, I think he's going to come away with James Harden.
Last year, you had a strong sense that the Thunder wanted to move out of the 4 spot, move down and trade with the Clippers in hopes of that they thought they could get Russell Westbrook still at that spot. That trade didn't happen. So you see, do you see a scenario where anybody's going to trade up for Thabeet? Do you see teams further down in the draft that would go for a 7-footer, that want a shot-blocking presence, that really want to play a half-court game? Because I got news for you. When you play with Thabeet, I think it's a half-court game.
Well, I don't see anybody falling in love with him that much, where they're willing to give away more pieces and move up to get him. I mean, the guy is good. He's going to have exceptional workouts to get that kind of reception from these other lottery teams. I don't think he's that good.
And Darnell, if he has exceptional workouts, doesn't he then, his stock goes up with the Grizzlies too?
Yeah.
So, okay, one last, let's end this by talking about James Harden for a second.
I love him.
Why?
The only thing that you have against him is that he's just not the athlete that some of these other guys are.
Just make it clear, I have nothing against him.
He's well.
I haven't written any songs about James Harden.
Here's the thing I love about James Harden. He plays hard, he plays smart, and he plays the right way. There's not much on the court that he can't do. He's an offensive player. He's a defensive player. He can shoot it. He can pass it. He can get his teammates involved. He's a playmaker. That's the thing that I really love about James Harden. He can come in and sort of when things – he can be another playmaker that you have in addition to Russell Westbrook. Because right now, Kevin Durant isn't really your playmaker. I mean, he can initiate some things. He's shown flashes of it last season. But he's not your playmaker. James Harden can be another guy. When things break down, you go to him. He can bail you out. And he's also good defensively. So the fact that he's a good teammate, he brings it on both ends of the court. I think he's just the guy who fits this organization and what they're trying to do.
Is there too much made of how some of these guys, especially the college basketball players, do in March? Because James Harden wasn't great in March.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people soured on him because of that. But you look at what he did last year as a freshman, sort of one of the unheralded freshmen behind O.J. Mayo, Kevin Love, Kevin Love, O.J. Mayo, Derrick Rose, and Beasley, and those guys. James Harden flew under the radar. He came back his sophomore year and only got better. You know, he's playing at a solid program in Arizona State, but playing out west, I don't think he got the exposure that a lot of these other guys got, even the Kevin Loves playing at a UCLA program. So I think, you know, if you're looking just at what he did in March, then that's not a complete judge of the type of player that he is, because I think he's a phenomenal player.
I know you want to talk about the NBA playoffs. I know you want to talk about LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. I know you want to continue your Kobe Bryant worship.
I want to make you eat a little crow for saying that the Rockets would win.
Well, I predicted the Rockets would win, and they took them to 7 without Yao Ming. That's pretty close.
Well,
you know,
here's
that's
the thing.
Pretty close.
The Rockets not having Yao Ming is the best thing that happened to Houston, because they wouldn't have won those two games had Yao Ming been in. I don't think they would have won those two games if Yao Ming was in the lineup.
I don't know. I mean, they had a bad game 3 in Houston with Yao Ming, but he broke his foot. He was playing on a broken foot in that game, excuse me.
They lost the game.
They lost the game, but he's playing on a broken foot. Of course, you're not going to win with your 7-footer playing on a broken foot. You know, yes, the ball moved a little bit differently without Yao on the court. Here's what really how it moved a lot better: if they never passed a Ron Artest.
Yeah, who you were banking on to win this series because
they
had
defense. To play defense.
I didn't see him guard Kobe Bryant more than 5 times in 7 games.
But he played off the ball, and he's got a lot of hands in the passing lane. Here's the problem: Ron Artest had that game too. Remember?
Yeah.
And he was scoring 30 points and lighting it up. The absolute worst thing that could have happened.
He thought he was Kobe Bryant instead of Ron Artest.
I know, and he still thinks he's Kobe Bryant.
That's where I give it up to your man Shane Battier. for coming through. He played exceptional defense on Kobe Bryant.
I love Shane
Battier.
It
didn't matter at the end, but he played exceptional defense.
Shane Battier, I'm telling you. Now, Michael Lewis wrote that great piece in the New York Times about the no stats star, and it was great. Maybe a little bit overdone in places, but really great, really insightful. And I love Shane Battier. He's becoming my favorite player, which Kobe Bryant, unfortunately, is the opposite of my favorite player. I think Kobe Bryant is getting ready to have his comeuppance because he's getting ready to be surpassed. LeBron James, the train that we know as LeBron James, is getting ready to surpass Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's going to, and I love, there's another guy I love, Dr. J. That's who Kobe Bryant is. Do you know, at age 29, the great Julius Erving won his only MVP award. Why? An incomparable talent. Part of his best years were in the ABA. That was part of it. But the biggest reason was he got surpassed by younger, better stars. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan. That's what's getting ready to happen to Kobe Bryant. No knock against Kobe Bryant. No knock against him at all. But he's getting ready to be surpassed by the once-in-a-lifetime player, LeBron James.
And you know what? I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Because you know what you said? Getting ready to be passed.
Right now.
LeBron
like
has not passed
week.
Him yet. Like, LeBron has not passed him yet. Kobe Bryant is still the best player in the game. He showed it against the Nuggets in the fourth quarter Tuesday night, scoring 18 points. He's still the best closer. He has the biggest will. He has the biggest heart and desire. Until LeBron still has flaws in his game. Now, Kobe is not the all-around player that LeBron James is, but Kobe still has when you have to say that, you know, they talked about something on the other, on ESPN. Jerry West brought it up. He said that LeBron has surpassed Kobe Bryant. John Berry on the ESPN crew said that he thought Jerry West was just sort of stirring the pot to get him to bring the best out of Kobe Bryant in these Western Conference Finals. Here's the thing everybody agrees on. If you're starting a franchise right now, there's no question you take LeBron James over Kobe Bryant. To me, when you want to answer, when you want the truth to who the best player in the game today is, it's who would you trust? Who would you put the ball, whose hands would you put the ball in if the game's on the line, game 7 of the NBA Finals? And the answer to that is still Kobe Bryant. That's why he's the game's best player still. And until LeBron James shows that he deserves that, he has not surpassed LeBron Kobe Bryant yet.
All right, I'm getting ready to tell you why all of that's true except none of it. And here's why. Because they're going to probably play in the finals.
Let's hope so.
They're probably going to play in the finals. The Nuggets last night and how George Karl acted after that game, I just thought was strange. You know, I thought George Karl should have said, we had a chance to beat this team. We were up on them. And he just, I don't know what he was doing in the postgame. I'm a little worried about George Karl's postgame. And my thoughts that the Nuggets and my man Carmelo Anthony might get into the finals are fading. I think the NBA and all of its fans worldwide are getting ready to get the finals that people had hoped for, Kobe versus LeBron. But here's why your scenario doesn't work. LeBron James is going to make sure that when Kobe Bryant gets the ball in the fourth quarter, it's not going to be as relevant. It's going to be because of what LeBron James has been doing for 48 minutes. And right now, you love to talk about will. You love to talk about defense. LeBron James plays 48 minutes better than anybody. And the last time I checked, it's not just the fourth quarter. There's a 48-minute game. LeBron James elevates his – he makes the people around him better, more so than Kobe Bryant. He's a better rebounder, a better passer. And maybe he's not the scorer, but guess what LeBron James can do? He can open up openings for other players. And this year, unlike 2 years ago when the Cavs made it to the finals – there's people that he can pass to that can knock down shots.
So what you're telling me is LeBron James and the Cavs are going to blow out the Lakers.
I don't think they're going to blow them out. I just think that they're going to win.
Well, you just said LeBron James is going to make whatever Kobe Bryant does in the fourth quarter
less
irrelevant.
Less relevant. Kobe Bryant's not going to have as many game-winning chances. And you know the other thing is? I think if he gets them, he's going to be guarded by another guy who's another superstar who's on the all-defensive team.
Listen.
LeBron James is a load.
I'm close to saying LeBron James has surpassed Kobe Bryant. LeBron James,
you'll say it in two weeks for sure.
Well, if he wins in the finals, then there's no denying it. But I think the Lakers still have the upper hand in the finals. Even though the Cavs have home court advantage, the Lakers went into Cleveland and beat them on their home court. One of only two teams to do so. LeBron James is the most impressive for 46 minutes. In the last 2 minutes, you give the ball to Kobe Bryant and you drop your jaw. That's what you do. LeBron James is not the closer yet, like Kobe Bryant. I mean, until he becomes that, he's not the best. The game is decided, especially in the playoffs. We know this. In the last 2 minutes. It was decided last night in the last 2 minutes. Chances are, in tonight's game against Cleveland-Orlando, it's going to be decided in the last 2 minutes. Chances are. Until Kobe Bryant, until LeBron James can deliver in the clutch like Kobe Bryant does and has consistently done, he's not the player Kobe Bryant is. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's a 48-minute game, and if we don't stop now, this will be a 48-minute podcast. So we'll stop right here. You've been listening to the Open Mic Podcast on News OK. We'll see you next time.